How are you, sir?
Hey guys, I'm good.
Can I tell you that when I talked to Darren about the final game, his eyes still have that jiggle, or they kind of spin counterclockwise. He doesn't look quite right even yet.
I'm not quite right yet either. You can hear it by my voice. I can. I would not have had enough in the tank for a game five, so I'm glad we won it in four. I woke up Saturday morning, and I could not talk. I was 100% gone. So it's just now coming back.
But it's a good kind of gone. I mean, it's
absolutely well worth it.
It's like you feel like you gave yourself for the cause. How, in your view of this, and of course, when we started with the ECHL, Bob Chase was still in the booth, and then all that transition happened about halfway between then and now. I thought, and I'm just going to say this to you, from me to you, as friend to friend, I thought that you showed incredible deference to him and a great honoring of Bob Chase when you mentioned that you wanted at certain games there in the playoffs to be wearing his headphones. First of all, what did it mean to you that the use of those headphones was left to you, and what does it mean when you actually use them?
You know what? It's I can't really describe it. I mean, it's something where it doesn't happen very often. It happened throughout the playoffs. It didn't happen every game. I don't take them on the road. Bob is always in the building, but one of those games, you know, game three against Wichita, they were out and they were used. Game five against Wichita, they were used. Game four against Allen, they were used. And then game four against South Carolina, they were used. So, no, it's a feeling. You know, I even had Bob's bobblehead next to me all night long. And
really?
Just the feeling that he was in the building. Karen, his daughter, was there as well. So he was with us that night, and of course, you know, I'm you know, kind of the keeper of Bob's legacy, you know, and I'm going to make sure that no one ever forgets Bob.
Yeah, well, you're the only guy on the planet that gets to sit in his ensconced chair up there in the Eagles' nest. So yeah, that's a high placement for you, and I know that you feel high regard for who he is and for the great opportunity before you. Let's talk real quick. This was our first championship in 10 years. So that sounds like, you know, after 10 championships, we've gone a long time without one. But when you switch leagues, as we did, and we've done it a couple times over the last quarter of a century, but when you switch and then you get into a league like the ECHL, that's not a cakewalk. I mean, you're up against some pretty stiff competition.
Yeah, you know, when we went from the CHL to the ECHL, you know, it was a totally different league as far as how it was structured. The talent level was relatively the same, but the ECHL was geared more towards younger players, more prospects, as the CHL was a little bit more veteran driven. So yeah, you know, I mean, the quality of play I think was pretty close, but just the balance of what was important to the teams, you know, developing those prospects. It was just a younger, kind of a faster product, maybe not quite as skilled at the time. But, boy, going into this season where you had 12 teams unable to play and you only had 14 in the league, that had really shrunk the talent pool. And, boy, the hockey all season long was so good and was such a high caliber. You know, I mean, that was, you know, the games against South Carolina were maybe the best I've seen played in the ECHL since we've been in the league now 9 years. So, you know, this year was really special in a lot of different ways, but the thing that really stands out is that the talent every team had.
Yeah, I mean, all across the board. I mean, there was an incredible level of talent in each one of the teams. In that, the age drive of the ECHL and some of their goals and visions are a little different than what we came out of. Do you think that also, it took a little bit of time, not just for people like you and Bob and the leadership of the team, but it took time for the player pool to understand what the Comets looked like in this new league and what it was they could do and probably could not do?
Yeah, I mean, there was a little bit. You know, the Sonkies had made this move several times before he got to the ECHL. Comets went from AAA to AA, and they did a good job of that transition. That is a huge drop off. But then, you know, you go to the UHL, the IHL, and then the ECHL and CHL. So they did that in a relatively short amount of time. So they knew the drill, what it's like going into a new league. So I mean, they did a masterful job. And then, and also, you know, you had more teams in the ECHL. It takes four rounds to win the cup normally. So that's another thing that Comet Francis had not been up against four rounds in the playoffs. So it just made it that much more difficult. And, you know, a couple of times here in the ECHL, got to the conference finals twice. You went to a game seven in overtime against Colorado 3 years ago. So the Comet's been awful close. And it just took this year to have a special group of guys and to get guys who, you know, probably wouldn't have signed with the Comet. They were going to be elsewhere, but you were able to bring these guys together. And the one of the most remarkable things is that this team was all ECHL players. You only had one player, your goaltender, Dylan Ferguson, who was on an NHL contract, and that is also very rare at this level.
Wow, that is unusual. And I was not aware of that, so that says quite a bit, too. What does it mean to the team? Because I know that the last couple of games when you guys came back home and you were at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum, and an awful lot of the regulations had been lifted and the crowds were larger. I know they were louder. Darren Wright was there. So I know there was an awful lot of in-house noise going on. I mean, those guys in the confines of that Coliseum building, they sense that, don't they? I mean, they can feel what it is that's happening.
Yeah, 100%. Two totally different situations. We went to South Carolina. Unfortunately, they didn't have ice, so we had to play in their practice facility, which seats about 550 people.
Yeah.
And then going, switching gears and coming to Fort Wayne, where at final game you had 10,477 in the building. You know, it's quite the difference. You know, and the guys know, you know, they didn't really mind playing the practice ring, because once the puck is dropped, you're just focused on the game. Doesn't matter where you're playing. But definitely those last two games, those guys not having played in front of that many people all season long, it was definitely a lift. And what was really cool was, you know, when we got on the bus after we lost game two in South Carolina, all the players who had been here before were letting all the other players know who hadn't been a part of the jungle yet, that you were in, that they were going to be in for something special.
Yeah.
It was going to be a full house.
Yeah.
So, you know, they weren't sure what to make of it. So it was pretty neat. And then there were players like Brandon Hawkins and Justin Vive, who were opponents last year. You know, they were telling, like,
oh,
hey,
that's right.
It's rough to be an opposing player going into the jungle. So, yeah, you know, it was really neat, because even after we lost game two, everyone was so positive because we were coming home to a full house.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, I mean, but the jungle is an unusual place. It hadn't been the legitimate jungle all year long. It finally was there at the tail end at the playoffs. And for Carolina, and it is unfortunate for them that they were crammed into a practice facility with only 500 people there. That is a different mode. And then to walk into the Coliseum and to see 10,000 people and to be the opposite team and know that everybody in that building is against you, that had to play into some effect.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Ask our head coach, Ben Boudreau. The last cup we won in the IHL, there was over 10,000 in the building, and he was on the bench playing for Flint. So he knew what it was like to be on the other side of that, and he preached that to the players. It was like, this is an intimidating place, you know, because I know it, because
yeah.
I was on that other side. So, yeah, it was well-versed to the players at how special that was going to be.
This year was a slow start. We got in late. What should we look forward to, as far as you know, this year? When was everything start up, and when do we hope to hit the ice with the legitimate regular season for next year?
Hey, October 23rd is opening night, which means we are 13 weeks away
Wow.
from the start of the regular season, 11 weeks away from training camp. So, you know, that reality already has hit us, has set in. They're going to be teams will start announcing players signing tomorrow. The Comets are a little bit behind the eight ball, but when you just won a championship, I'm sure Coach Ben Boudreau and GM David Franke, I'm sure their phones are busy with guys wanting to play here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know that's the case. Well, listen, congratulations to the Comets. And today is a very special day, because today was declared Comet Hockey Day here in Fort Wayne. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it was nice. Thank Mayor Henry for welcoming us in. And, it was a nice ceremony, and it was nice for the city to recognize us. And you know, the lights on the MLK Bridge are black and orange this week, and also a few lights downtown as well. So, you know what? It's all good. I mean, here it is July, and we're still celebrating Comet Hockey. It's wonderful. I mean, it's unusual, but it's also really, really cool at the same time.
Yeah. Well, we hereby give you a month or a month and a half to lay in your Chase Lounge in your backyard and to sip on sweet tea and to relax. But then get your rear back in gear because it's going to be time to hit the ice. And I've got a funny feeling that the Comets want to hit the ice with even more purpose than they did this last season. And I think they're going to want to get at it. Shane, I've told you before privately, so I'll just say it here. There's only one Bob Chase, but it's becoming very, very apparent. There's only one Shane Alberani. And when I listened to you through the playoffs this year, that was just pretty amazing. And you carried yourself and this team and this community very, very well. We're proud of them. We're proud of you. Thank you for all you did for us on WOBO this year with Comet Hockey.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Pat. I'm blessed. It is beyond a pleasure. This was my childhood dream, and it has come true to be the voice of the Comets. Now, to call a championship, it's just one more thing that I have to be grateful for. So I appreciate that, buddy.
Shane, thanks a ton. Shane Alberani, the announcer on WOBO for
podcasts by Federated Media.